Part B. In this part of the test, you'll hear six different extracts. In each extract, you'll hear people talking in a different healthcare setting. For questions 25 to 30, choose the answer A, B, or C, which fits best according to what you hear. You'll have time to read each question before you listen. Complete your answers as you listen. Now look at question 25. You hear a nurse briefing her colleague about a patient. Now read the question.
Mrs. Green was admitted last night for pneumonia. She came in yesterday with a cough, fever, dizziness and chest discomfort.
Mm-hmm.
She's a healthy 60-year-old with a history of right knee replacement 5 years ago.
Mm.
She's on a regular diet and has no allergies. She's at high risk for falls due to her dizziness. We changed her IV antibiotics to oral, which she's tolerating well.
Good.
Her assessment is within normal limits except for some mild shortness of breath and wheezing. Her vital signs are stable, oxygen saturation is 98% on 1 litre, and she's been comfortable during my shift.
Hmm.
Around 5:30, I gave her 2 paracetamol for minor pain, with good results. She has an 18-gauge in her left arm.
Yep.
She's got normal saline at 15 mils per hour.
Okay.
Question 26. You hear the manager of a care home for the elderly talking to the nursing staff. Now read the question.
Now, a quick word about the administration of medication. It's great to see how carefully you're all following the new guidelines, and thanks to this, error rates, which were always below average anyhow here, have dropped by 40%. The surveys we've done also throw up some interesting findings, like mistakes being more common in the morning than afternoons or evenings. We're not sure why, but there's a clear pattern. Also, we know that being disturbed for any reason while working out and preparing doses is a common reason for mistakes. So please, try and avoid distracting your colleagues while they're doing this. Finally, we must be on the lookout for drug interactions, side effects, and patient sensitivities. Fortunately, we haven't had too many problems of this nature, but the care needs of the vast majority of our residents are often quite complex.
Question 27. You hear part of a morning briefing on a hospital ward. Now read the question.
Right, so overnight admissions to the ward. Greg, could you start us off?
Sure. We have Sue Deans in bed 5. She's a 54-year-old female who was brought into the emergency department by police overnight.
Mm-hmm.
She has a history of poorly controlled paranoid schizophrenia. She presents with chronic persecutory and paranoid delusions and also significant thought disorder.
Hmm.
She's to remain in high dependency unit care until the stabilisation of her symptoms. We'll be observing her every 15 minutes and monitoring the level of her distress, psychosis, and any response to interventions offered.
Okay. I'll review the clinical and detention status this afternoon. Now, what's the plan for discharge?
Social work interventions required for placement and community support options, and that's been booked for tomorrow. Also, an application for the appointment of legal guardian may be required.
Right. We will consider that at tomorrow's ward round.
Question 28. You hear part of an antenatal consultation at a GP practice. Now read the question.
Mrs. Summer, how can I help today?
Well, I just wanted to check something.
Okay. So you're having a home birth?
Yeah, though everyone's on at me about going into hospital. I had my last child there, but I'm determined to be at home this time, to feel more relaxed as well as safe. Mm. But I wondered about an at-home epidural if I wanted it. Going without wouldn't put me off, though.
An epidural's out, I'm afraid, because we can't do it without an anaesthetist. Just pethidine or gas and air. But they're very effective painkillers.
Yeah, pethidine's good.
And you had a bad patch after giving birth last time.
Yeah, I got really depressed. I couldn't understand it. It was short-lived, though, and I'm better prepared now. It can't be prevented, but I have read up about coping strategies.
Question 29. You hear a trainee doctor telling his supervisor about a problem he had carrying out a procedure. Now read the question.
So how's today gone, Harry?
Well, I'm afraid I had a problem taking blood from Mrs. Harris. I've done that procedure numerous times now, so I wasn't particularly worried. What I hadn't anticipated was the difficulty finding a vein. I suspect her illness means she'll have had a number of cannulas inserted over the weeks she's been here, and that's led to collapsed veins.
Well, that can happen with long-term elderly patients, and it's distressing for them if the procedure isn't done quickly.
Oh, she endured it without a murmur. I'm sure I would have made a fuss in similar circumstances.
Well, I'll supervise you the next time you do it.
Question 30. You hear a doctor talking to a teenage boy who has a painful wrist. Now read the question.
Now then, I understand you fell off your skateboard some days ago and injured your wrist. Is that right?
Yes, I slipped and put my hand out to save myself. My mum says I've sprained it.
You certainly got some swelling and bruising there. But I don't think your mum's right in this case. Does your wrist hurt?
It aches, but the pain's worse when I try to grip something.
Right, well, I suspect you've broken what's called your scaphoid bone. It's a classic injury resulting from what you describe. I can't feel any other fractures. But you'll need an X-ray to see where the two ends of the bone are. If they're not meeting up properly, you'll need an operation to sort that out. But let's see the results first.
Okay.
That is the end of Part B. Now look at Part C.